WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Sports Entertainment.
Hey, everybody, this is X Pac with D-Generation X.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. Listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Who's ready for story time, baby?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Best there is, the best there was, or the best there ever will be.
The intern, Kane Kittens.
I am the best in the world at everything I do.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler Keishi Matsunaga.
I'm better than you, and you know it.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Acknowledge me.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday night.
And remember, it's okay to play with yourself. As long as you have an action figure.
I hear voices in my head. They counsel me. They understand. They talk to me.
You got tools and religion. All designed to keep you safe. When rules start getting broken, you start questioning your pain. I have a voice that is my savior, hates to laugh and loves to hate. I have a voice that has the knowledge and the power to your pain. I hear voices crying.
It's Sunday night, and you know what that means. It's time for another edition of WTR Sunday Night. Wrestle Talk Radio, live right here on Wild Talk Radio. Streaming live at wildtalkradio.com, right here at twitch.tv/WTR Live. Chat, if you have that Amazon Prime link to your Twitch account, it's called Prime Gaming. You can support the channel by clicking the purple rectangular button below the screen. You can also use credit card rock stock in the Fortnite item shop when you buy your brand new Battle Pass, because the new season of Fortnite Battle Royale, Chapter 5, Season 1, has hit, so buy it and enjoy whatever it ends up being. Because Legos are coming. Woo! Anyway, I'm the producer, Sir Rockin. Joined as always by the intern, Kane Kittens.
Oh, don't forget Rock Band is coming to Fortnite as well.
It's called Fortnite Festival. Get it right. Learn your terminology.
It's Rock Band.
It's Fortnite Festival. Get your terminology down. You have to learn
okay.
It.
Okay, Fortnite Festival is a cheap ripoff of Rock Band.
It's from the studio that made Rock Band. There's a difference.
Okay.
Rock Band actually made it.
By the way, the riot shields are awful.
I haven't used one. And nor do I plan to.
Oh, no. I've run up against them. They're awful.
Are they? Okay. That's good to know. Good to know. Good to know. And then wondering what the hell we're talking about. It's Tim Stein.
Yeah, good evening, everybody. Welcome to WTR Sunday Night, streaming live here on the Wild Talk Radio Network and on Twitch, twitch.tv/WTR Live. Got an interactive chat room. Join us and interact, because we'll talk back as opposed to giving you back talk. Well, that might happen to you. You never know with us.
Speaking of interactive, go to impeachment.cbradiolive.com right now. Vote. Should we impeach the loan jobber? Vote, make your vote heard. What?
If you impeach him, who becomes president?
We'll figure that out when we get there. One step at a time.
Impeached Canadian Prime Minister. Anyway.
Anyway, but we had the trial of Lone Jobber last night. You'll be able to hear the archive tomorrow. The VOD is available now right here on Twitch. We did a whole trial, a whole segment, a whole thing. It was a whole deal. So check that out. CBRadioLive.com. Go to impeachment. CBRadioLive.com and vote. Should we impeach the loan jobber?
You
results this Saturday.
You make it sound like he's in trouble or something.
I mean, we had all the articles, didn't we, Brent?
Yes, we had a full set of articles.
professionally written and everything.
Wow.
Yeah. It was a whole production with sound effects, everything.
But professionally written?
It sounded professional.
Oh, it just seems like a stretch to me.
It wasn't a stretch.
No, I'm just saying.
We have standards on CB Radio, and we held up to them.
You better watch out, or we're going to issue some articles of impeachment against him.
Can we impeach a Canadian?
No, there is no such thing as impeachment up here, unfortunately.
Shame.
It is a shame.
Anywho, that's politics. We're not getting into actual politics. We're here to talk professional wrestling and sports entertainment. The week that was in WWE and AEW and beyond. Brent decided to throw some topics our way, so we'll throw them back at him. One includes the AEW World Heavyweight Champion MJF working through a partially torn labrum in his shoulder. He's been working his ass off, Brent, on 3 back-to-back pay-per-views, working double duty.
Yeah, they're really trying to get their money's worth out of him, it looks like. Don't know if it's the smartest thing in the world, but they're doing it.
And now he's scheduled to defend his championship at the end of the year at World's End on the 30th of December. Scheduled to compete this coming Wednesday on Dynamite in a tag team match. You look around and you look at the landscape and go, should they be protecting their World's Heavyweight Champion, Brent?
Look, I know the whole thing about this is his contract is supposed to be up at the very end of the year.
Supposedly.
The way, all intents and purposes, looks like he's probably signed an extension and he's going to be covered.
I mean, it would be a big mistake if Tony's just going to let him walk on January 1st. Just going to put that one out.
That being said, if it has been decided that he has a contract, then what they need to do is protect their investment and rest him, or you can do the injury angle where you take the title off of him. You have, you know, someone else be champion. And then if MJF wants, when he comes back, he gets first shot at it for, you know, quote unquote, the title he never lost.
It has been a thing they have done in the past where they've created interim championships. Hi, Tony Storm.
Hi, John Moxley.
Hi, John Moxley. Former interim champions in their respective divisions. I don't know if it's a smart deal if you're thinking long term. Oh, hey, we have this guy who's like our top guy, and now he's working through a torn or partially torn labrum in his shoulder. He's pretty banged up.
Who's 28, by the way?
28. Tim?
Yeah, he's still young.
Tim, logically, does that make sense?
Well, you know, in many sports besides professional wrestling, the athlete will play through some injuries for the simple fact that they can't make it any worse than it is. And it doesn't affect overall what they're doing as long as they don't, you know, like overdo it. How bad is a partially torn labrum?
That's pretty bad when, you know, shoulder movement and everything.
It's a bit of a big deal.
Yeah. Because you got to protect yourself and your opponents on certain moves, you know, using your arms.
It definitely weakens your overall arm strength.
You know, he also had to have his hip, I think, knocked back into place too, I think, recently.
Yeah. Yeah. People like MJF frustrate me. The smart thing to do is to get it fixed and then let it heal. Why is he avoiding that?
Good question.
What is the reason? You said his contract comes up in January, supposedly, but he's allegedly re-signed already.
One would assume he's re-signed, because if Tony's smart, he would lock him down and not run the whole angle. Well, I'm the, you know, free agent 2024.
Yeah, he could be the next one going to WWE.
Right, and you don't need that. WWE doesn't need that momentum that they're getting with him, and would, you know, they would gain some more momentum. If they were,
you know,
to
who the
him.
Perfect example of that is Brian Pillman and his contract with WCW. When they did the whole, you know, loose cannon gimmick, it was, oh, we're going to let you out of your contract, or we're going to let your contract lapse, or we're going to let you out of it, and you're going to just, like, you know, chill for a little while, and then we're going to bring you back, and you're going to have this good run. And what did Pillman do in that interim?
See you later, bitch.
Signed a deal with WWE and immediately started with them.
Yep.
So whenever it comes to these whole things of like, well, we're going to run this angle of like, is he going to come back? Isn't he? You run that risk of the person going, oh, I'm getting this much money for it. Yeah, see ya. I don't care.
Yeah, so if they're doing some kind of a thing where it's smoke and mirrors until the end of the month, you've got like 28 days, 27 days left in December, something like that. And his contract's up in January. They could do some kind of an injury angle, or they could do a will he or won't he re-sign angle and draw that out while he's
which they've been, you know, teasing for months.
They've been teasing.
Yeah.
Right. They could actually literally pull that trigger. It would make sense. It would work.
What's funny is they just ran an injury angle of will he or won't he compete at the last pay-per-view, and then he actually got hurt for reals during the match, even though before the match he was faking the injury. You know, they were storyline injuries.
And then he hurt his hip in the actual
hip
match.
And shoulder in that match. He hurt his hip because the table broke, and then he decided, hey, well, the people want a spot, so I'm going to just jump off the top rope down onto the floor. Smart move.
You know, I have a very vivid memory of being his age. How old did you say he was, 28?
I believe so.
People that age are generally, in their own mind, pretty freaking indestructible.
Oh, I'm sorry, he's 27.
27.
He's turning 28 this upcoming year.
Okay, well, there you go. He's 27. When I was 27, I was a nightclub disc jockey downtown on Electric Avenue, partying all night and getting paid for it. I was indestructible. And I realized it was time to quit living that life when I woke up one morning and couldn't get up. It was my first experience of middle age. Not that I was middle age at the time, but like it was a premonition of what's coming on.
A premonition.
And now that I am almost middle age, I have very hard time getting out of bed in the morning. I'm like, oh, no, I can't do that. You know, it's like if you got an injury that can be rectified through the, you know, surgery, and you have the ability to take time off, do it, because the end of your career is coming quicker than you realize. Time flies faster than you figure out until you're 35 years of age. Once you hit 35, you realize time flies. Period. Doesn't matter if you're having fun or not. If you don't want your career potentially prematurely ending, get your ass fixed.
Well, and here's the other thing about all of this. It's like, I understand that in wrestling and in sports, that mentality is, like we talked about this at the start of this segment, you know, oh, gut through it. You know, are you hurt or are you injured? That kind of thing. Hey, Rock. You had someone get injured in your game today, correct?
Yes.
He's already pretty banged up, and they all talk about, you know, oh, he's playing on a, you know, busted up knee essentially, but oh, he's a trooper. Was there any need for him to come back into the game when he did?
No, but he went out with a concussion test. Not
concussion protocol.
Yeah, it was not a concussion.
I know.
All sports have spotters sitting in the stands paying attention to everybody.
At least
nowadays.
That's what I read on Twitter, that he was taken in for a concussion.
But I mean, it's this idea of like, and I think you would agree, if your quarterback is injured and right now it's one of those things of, okay, well, he can kind of gut through it and try and earn you like the number one seed and try to get home field advantage, but he's going to go into those playoffs really roughed up. Or you can take, you know, you can take him and sit him for a few weeks. You're still going to make the playoffs, but you're going to have him fully healthy and ready to go. I'd rather have a healthy person going into the crucial runs than be like, he's banged up, but we need, you know, we need this little thing right now. So let's go.
Well, you know, you go back to last spring, June, the National Hockey League playoffs, the Stanley Cup. Best of seven, the Florida Panthers took on the Las Vegas Golden Knights for the Stanley Cup. Golden Knights won the cup. the Florida Panthers has a former Calgary Flame on the team. Calgary traded him to Florida, Matthew Tkachuk. And in that Stanley Cup final, everybody's like, oh, there is Matthew Tkachuk pulling his annual playoff disappearance act. The guy was worse than useless on the ice every night. After the playoffs are over and the Panthers lost the Stanley Cup, it came to light that the guy had a broken sternum, and it was so bad that he couldn't dress himself. He had to get his brother to help him put his shirt on at home, and then he had to have the trainer help him put his chest protector and his jersey on in the change room. And it's like, okay, I get it. It's the Stanley Cup final. It's not something you're going to experience every single year. Unless, you know, you're Wayne Gretzky. And even then, that didn't happen. But you can't do a goddamn thing. You can't play your game. You're not helping your team. Why the hell are you putting yourself at such risk and taking a spot away from somebody who could potentially help the team, who could potentially help them win the games and the Stanley Cup?
Pride.
You know?
It's pride.
It's not just pride, it's stupidity.
Well, it's pride, and honestly, I want to say it's fear, because there are a few examples, and I know the mentality is, if I get hurt and I take time away, someone could step up and take my spot. We have the perfect example of that in number 12, Tom Brady. He stepped in when Drew Bledsoe got hurt. Took over as quarterback, never looked back.
Well, yeah, but in all fairness, Tom Brady's a better quarterback than Drew Bledsoe.
No, but you didn't know that then.
Yeah, he was a sixth-round draft pick out of Michigan. It wasn't until he stepped up.
Yeah, he got his chance to show it. All right, he got his chance to show it. Back in the day, you know, air quotes, back in the day, you didn't want to admit you were injured in professional wrestling precisely because the promoter would find somebody to replace you. You would lose your spot. Your job was not protected or guaranteed if you weren't able to go every night. That's not so much the story anymore. And, you know, things have progressed a long way. And as far as all the other sports, Tom Brady was an aberration. He was the exception to the rule. You generally know what you have available, and there's a reason they're not dressed ahead of your other guys.
That's not true. Brock Purdy for the 49ers was the last pick in the NFL draft. Trey Lance got hurt. What was the other one, Brent?
There's Lou Gehrig.
No,
way the, back in the day.
No, I'm talking about the 49ers quarterbacks. It was
Trey Lance and Joe Garoppolo.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You guys are talking football. I'm talking hockey. So maybe this is
talking
a hockey.
Baseball also.
He was also taking baseball.
Okay. And baseball. Maybe this is what my point is. Maybe what I'm talking about is a hockey specific thing. In hockey, you don't lose your spot due to injury no matter what. No matter what. If the other guy turns out to be better than you, you're still put into the lineup and one of you two get traded for assets.
That's what happened. They traded Trey Lance away. And Brock Purdy has the job now. He was Mr. Irrelevant. That was the last pick in the NFL draft. And now he's a starting quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
It happens. It's rare, but it happens.
Yeah, well, you know, Matthew Tkachuk was a number six overall draft pick. So everybody, you know, it's not like he came out of nowhere. He was expected to do what he's wound up doing. And he ultimately should have had absolutely no fear about losing a spot in the NHL. Because, again, that, like, there's always an exception that proves the rule. But by the time you reach the show, it is what it is. And anybody that they have available to fill in for you is just that, a fill-in. It's like your guest host when Johnny Carson took the night off. So, you know, rounding it back to MJF, like,
he shouldn't worry about his spot. It's MJF, you know, but here we are.
It's that, and also, as you touched on, Rock, working injured is not going to help necessarily the person across the ring from you.
No.
Because if you're in a tag team match, sure, Joe can do the heavy lifting. You could have MJF do a spot or two, you know, the kangaroo kick, because maybe that won't further exacerbate the labrum as much as, you know, like a body slam or things like that. But at the same time, you're still going to be putting him in a match with Joe on the biggest stage. And I mean, we can all agree, Joe is not the lightest individual.
No.
So when you work Joe, you've got to be prepared to handle and, you know, work with 300 plus pounds.
So we'll see what happens with his injury. Sticking with AEW, Brent, where's Britt Baker?
Yeah, so earlier this week, Britt Baker had a very interesting tweet that discussed the amount of promo time in front of the fans that certain individuals are getting.
Like what?
Like Christian getting 7 full minutes in front of the crowd. And, hang on, let me pull up that quote real quick. Where is it? Hopefully she hasn't deleted it. All in. Pittsburgh. Oh, here we go. So this was on November 29th. Tonight, hashtag AEW Dynamite. MJF live promo time, 7 minutes. Christian Cage live promo time, 10 minutes. All of 2023 AEW Dynamite. Britt Baker live promo time, 0 minutes. This is someone who has been named by several individuals as, quote-unquote, one of the pillars of AEW. For a while, she was the women's division. I'm not going to say, representative of. I mean, for a while, she was it. And yet, it seems like ever since Jamie Hayter went down with that injury before All In, Britt Baker's MIA.
Well, she's with Cole, but before that, where's her promo time? Discount the last couple months. Where's the first 9 months where she was fully active? That's concerning.
And I know, like, in the last, someone put up a stat of, like, the last 4 matches she's had, she's put other people over. That's cool, because she had a huge run on top. But this is pretty standard overall for AEW's treatment of the women's division. I mean, right now you've got Toni Storm as the big face of the company, or at least the women's division being their champion. And is her gimmick entertaining? Sure. So yeah, they're going to devote time to her. But also, she's not getting a lot of live promo time. Women don't really get the chance to be in the ring addressing the fans. A lot of their stuff is backstage segments, you know, interactions like that. You know, the pre-match recorded promos. Because that's all we ever heard from Chris Statlander about.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, for a while, I remember everyone was trying to champion the fact of, like, oh, AEW has such a great women's division with, like, Riho and Britt Baker. And, you know, when Tony came in, and, oh, look, there's Saraya and Ruby Soho and all of this. Yet they only ever get one match a week. You get Tony, which is getting a little bit more feature outside of that, but that's also because she's entertaining as all hell, and she essentially made something of herself. I don't know if it was necessarily Tony doing it. I think a lot of it was Toni Storm coming up with something and being like, I'm going to run with this. But other than that, they run, you know, an angle with about the same 4 or 5 women for 3 months, and then they'll rotate it out. I can't tell you the last time I even saw, you know, a former champion like Nyla Rose on TV. I mean, I don't know if they're just going to roll her out when it's Pride Week or Pride Month.
She usually comes out, gets the first title defense, and then she's gone. It's kind of how they run things with her. Which is fine, I guess, if that's her role. But yeah, the women's division's kind of lacking in terms of equal opportunity promo time. It's kind of very evident in what they're doing. Is Britt right to call out her boss like that?
Honestly, yes.
How so?
Because there's one example of this. You had I know it was also a part of the fans putting something out there when it was, you know, the give divas a chance or give women a chance with the WWE. But it's part of that was also, I think, the performers calling out the fact of, like, yeah, they only got like 2 or 3 minute matches on TV. Cause I think I remember tweets coming out about that back in the day of, you know, they weren't getting time and they were calling attention to that. And then the fans picked up on it and started the viral campaign. And that's when you started to see like, yeah, we hear you. We're going to work on it. And for someone like Tony Khan, not Storm, his whole thing is like, oh, well, I want to use the analytics. And, you know, when Thunder Rosa had to give up her title, she had to do it either in a backstage segment, or she got like no time to talk in terms of giving up the belt. I think it was just Tony Khan saying that, like, oh, due to injury, she's had to vacate the title. And that was put against the fact of when Punk got hurt, he got like 7 minutes of promo time talking about like he was injured and he has to vacate the title, and but I will be back and better than ever, and I'll fight for it when I come back. And it was just a perfect, you know, encapsulation of what happened. And so I think it does need to be called out. You do need to bring it to his attention, because otherwise it's, you know, oh, well, I have the numbers and they just don't pull the same ratings as the men. Well, also, that's because you have them in one match a week. And no offense, the one match you usually put out there isn't your headliners. It's not a blockbuster match. It's like Tony Storm versus Emi Sakura. And I can tell you from personal experience, that's not a match that I'm going to sit there and go, oh, this is going to be 10, 15 minutes. I need to watch this. So calling him out, I think, is one of the ways to bring attention to it and to try and elicit change. Because otherwise, he's just going to go, you know, oh, if I don't hear anything, everything must be fine.
But shouldn't you, I don't know, go about it a different manner, like behind closed doors?
Well, here's the thing. We don't know if they have been, because if it's behind closed doors, you don't hear about it. Sometimes it takes having a public platform and doing that to make people take notice.
And maybe they do. And maybe they do. Switching gears just a little bit to the World Wrestling Entertainment's GMs have been back. How are we liking it so far, Tim? Insightful. Very insightful. Good knowledge. Hey, Brand, GMs are back. What are yep. your thoughts?
Honestly, I kind of like the way they're doing this time around, because it's both guys with a vested interest on their one program. Because normally when we talked about this a few weeks ago when they first introduced it, it's that idea of like, you know, oh, are they going to do the kind of crooked GM where eventually Nick Aldis is going to get in the ring or abuse his power? Mm-hmm. And we haven't really seen that. What we've seen is two guys who are in charge of their individual shows that are trying to, quote, put the best product out there and have this kind of rivalry with one another. Like, when Adam Pearce came to SmackDown, Nick Aldis kicked his ass out of the arena because of Jey Uso. And we've had, like, Nick Aldis show up on Raw and basically be like, hey, I'm here to scout talent, or possibly, you know. And this week, it was the whole idea of, like, which program is Randy going to sign with? And they made it feel like, yeah, it's two sports GMs trying to land the big free agent. And so it felt intriguing of, like, yeah, they're honestly trying to one-up each other. They're trying to make their show better for the fans. And in that way, I think the GMs, like, having GMs on the show work.
Tim, what do you think about the GMs returning to WWE television? Is it working?
Well, this time around, I would have to say, yeah. Last time, just wasn't sold to me. I'm of the, you know, I've always been of the opinion, just give one person, you know, on-air authority on both shows and have them run this shit. But this time out, I don't know. It just seems to be clicking. Where the last time they did it, for me, didn't click. Better. Couldn't have cared less. And it was a case of, you know what, just move on from this bullshit and bring on the next match. But this time out, these guys, they've got some kind of chemistry between them.
Better,
they're selling it.
Better writing, better chemistry, better
audit. Writing and better chemistry, and yeah, better, so far
better on-air presence. They feel natural in their roles. It's not a forced role for either one.
I would have to grudgingly agree with that statement.
So it's working
to this point so far for this iteration.
And they, as Brent mentioned, they were feuding over Randy Orton, who's now on SmackDown.
I did find the that final segment entertaining.
And now Randy could be the next in line for one Roman Reigns.
Tell Roman Daddy's back.
Or is it somebody else who should be next in line for one Randall? What do we think, Brent?
Well, it's interesting because, like you said, WWE has kind of put out there the fact that there are a couple of different competitors for Roman right now. I mean, there's still LA Knight sitting out there in the wings because he's the most recent guy who got screwed. And he's still involved in the program with the Bloodline, as we saw this past week when Jimmy and Solo were getting the jump on Randy. And LA came out to get the save and essentially get Solo out of there. Which, by the way, on a side note, semi-related, Jimmy Uso selling the RKO and doing so even after the cameras were off, chef's kiss. Brilliant work.
Oh, that was absolutely brilliant. And they move him to the edge of the ring so they can roll up the carpet and then move him back afterwards. And he's just like, lying there, pass right the hell out. Now that is called selling.
He did not move. I mean, he sold. It's all for just the people in attendance. But oh my God, he just kept it going, and it was amazing. But so you have LA Knight still out there, and I mean, he's still hotter than ever. So if you were to give him another shot at Roman, I don't think anyone would complain. People would be invested. You've got Randy, who just came back, who the fans are fully into. If you listen to the crowd, again, people would be invested in him getting an opportunity. You still have kind of sitting out there, even though he's also working another program. But I mean, it is Royal Rumble time. So that is about the time of year that Kevin Owens usually gets a shot at the Universal title. I think it's been the past, what, two or three Royal Rumbles that he's gotten that shot.
Might not happen this year.
No, they're running an injury angle, and he's dealing with a guy from A-Town and a guy from an a-hole from down under, altogether. But I mean, Kevin's always a viable contender that you could put out there. So the thing I like with this is they've got people that they're lining up that could be contenders. And then you still have the big one that's hanging out there to finish the story, but that one's probably happening up in Philadelphia.
So who would you have him face at the Royal Rumble, Rant?
Honestly, I think you could put him against Randy. I think that one is probably the best move right now because you don't want LA Knight to, if he were to lose again, you don't want it two straight losses because that could start to stifle a little bit of the run, and because fans would then just believe, okay, they don't have the faith in him of being a champion right now. Kevin is hurt and busy, but Randy is a good stopgap and he's a good viable contender because he is I think 13 or 14 time world champion. So it's one of those that's like, yeah, there's the pedigree there. Plus there's the added bit of he's out for revenge on the Bloodline. And you've got someone that is as cutthroat as Roman. So it's one of those interesting dynamics of Randy could take the Bloodline out before the Rumble to leave Roman alone. And Roman would just be on an island, essentially. So I think that's intriguing to see. If Randy goes out and, you know, like, punts Jimmy in the head to take him out, and then you just see Paul and Roman kind of look at each other like, oh, God, we know where this is going.
With that, Tim, who's your choice for Roman to face at the Royal Rumble?
I would say Orton. Reason why did he sign on SmackDown? So he could get his revenge on the Bloodline, right?
Mm-hmm.
He can eat the loss without anything affecting him. No hiccup in any momentum, no loss of crowd support, none of that garbage. And it would continue or at least develop that storyline of him getting revenge on the Bloodline, leading up to him helping LA Knight beat Roman for the title down the road. So he gets the beat down at Rumble, because out come Jimmy and Solo. And who makes the save? LA Knight. There's your punt. Sure, punt. Would you punt Jimmy or would you punt Solo?
Jimmy.
Because, you know, LA Knight chases off Solo in that situation. But Solo gets away enough that he's able to get Roman out of there before Roman gets punted. If it's a non-finish, it's a non-finish. But you could make it a lopsided loss, and then LA Knight comes out, and all, you know, that scenario happens. And then next thing you have is Jimmy and Solo versus LA Knight and Orton. His Fastlane is after Rumble, right?
Chamber.
That's it, Chamber.
In Australia.
So you could have that tag team match at the Chamber, couldn't you? Why not?
I mean, anything's possible.
It's possible. And now you're eventually going to take title off Roman. How soon is that going to happen? You know, a lot of people bitch and complain about him being a part-timer and not working a full schedule. But there's a real-life, real-world reason for that. The guy has had leukemia twice. He's currently the top, and they want to play out the storyline and protect him at the same time.
And he also negotiated, hey, I don't want to work.
That's that's the reason why he negotiated that. And that's the reason why they went for it.
He also has the 5 kids, I think.
Oh, God, I didn't realize it was that many.
A lot. Yeah, I think he has a lot. But yeah, it would make more sense. So that's good. We'll see how it turns out for him at the Royal Rumble. We got many weeks to come. Yeah, he has 5 kids. And they're all young. Smart to be home. But I say on that note, our news show of the week is over. We're done for the night.
That's it. That's all she wrote.
And a programming note. We're back live with WTR Sunday Night in 2 weeks for the final episode of 2023.
Because next Sunday night,
it's Eagles Cowboys, and we're watching Eagles Cowboys.
And I'm going to be
in Dallas too.
Yeah, so we won't be doing a show during that.
For first place in the NFC East, let's go, boys!
Yeah, so
I'm going to be watching. I'm going to be watching that game and pestering either one of you guys, depending on whose team's losing.
There you go. So we'll be back live in 2 weeks for the final episode of WTR Sunday Night of 2023 on the 17th.
So there you go. That being said, tomorrow night immediately following Rock, why don't you do a post show and invite Lindsay?
We're going to do the Raw post show live at 11 p.m. Eastern, covering everything that goes down on Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, Thursday night, 10 o'clock Eastern, on another edition of the multi-time award-winning The Rack. What does Lindsay have going on for us?
Think we're previewing NXT Deadline, possibly. Possibly. I think that's what the plan is. We'll figure that out. It's Thursday. It's The Rack. 10 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah, you should do that Fortnite special thingamajig.
Maybe. Maybe we'll do Fortnite with friends this week. We might be able to run it this week. No. Maybe. No. Maybe.
I think
NXT Saturday. So maybe. I don't know. We'll figure it out. But I know for sure CB Radio will be live at 11:30 p.m. Eastern with the results of the impeachment trial of the Lone Jobber. Lone Jobber, go to impeachment.cbradiolive.com. Vote whether we should impeach the Lone Jobber. Lone Jobber. But we'll be live 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
There you go.
Yeah. It's at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter, facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork. It's WTR Sunday on Facebook and Twitter. Tim is on social media at
Flames Forums. Follow me, goddammit.
Brent's on Twitter and socials at
at Kane Kittens.
Follow him there, do the things. Casey's on Twitter at Kyle Driver. Buy merch. Insta. Merch link in descriptions. Hit it, link it, buy yourself an ugly sweater for the holidays.
Or a bento box.
Or a bento box.
Get a, ben- Yeah, get a bento t-shirt.
Or both. Do the thing. Just follow Keishi on Twitter at Kyle Driver. Chad, this is your reminder. If you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. Support the channel by clicking the purple rectangular button below the screen. You can also use carry code ROCKTOCK in the Fortnite item shop or Epic Games Store because we are hashtag Epic Partner. When you buy your new Battle Pass, all the new skins. Solid Snake is in Fortnite. Peter Griffin is
coming.
Peter Griffin is in Fortnite. Lego is coming.
Rocket Racing
is coming. Racing. It's not Rocket League. It's Rocket Racing.
Rocket Racing brought to you by Rocket League.
Yeah, use the Rocket League cars in Fortnite. It's a whole new world. It's a whole new universe. It's a whole Omniverse or something. I don't know. It's Fortnite Battle Royale. Or it's just Fortnite. It's an interesting time to be alive.
There you go.
Send us home, Tim.
Yeah, that said, I hope you enjoyed our little back and forth. We'll catch you right here 2 weeks from now. Say good night, Brent.
Good night, Brent.